Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to another Team List Tuesday. This is round four and we are in the carnage. Survive, how we doing, mate?
Hey, Timmy, I'm doing good today. How are you doing?
Mate, if it wasn't for the amount of carnage, I reckon I'd be pretty happy. But there's a lot to break down. There's a lot to dive into. So let's just kind of break apart these team lists. Everybody this week has got some stuff to deal with. Most people are going to struggle to deal with field 17. How many are you fielding at the moment?
I'll probably be lucky to hit 17. Just depends with the trades that I do this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about as well. We're going to have to talk about how you manage that, and because I don't think this carnage is over. I think we have to talk about how you're going to deal with some of these guns that are out and potentially some of these cheapies as well. So let me just kind of monologue for a bit and we'll dive into it and go from there. For the Roosters, there is no major changes. Terrell May has been named and that's probably the most important thing. For Panthers, Schneider is at 7. We have seen that Panthers halfbacks that get an extended run normally score quite well. Luke Garner is named in the second row and he should get that spot for a few weeks. Watch out for Maverick Gaia. He is a very talented player, but it's whether he gets enough opportunity to make cash. For the Bunnies, the only real change here to the team is that Burgess comes into the forward pack. Anything else is probably not that relevant. Talis Duncan is still there. For the Dogs, no changes. Apparently they're the only team not affected by injury this week, even though Josh Adokar is in the reserves. Cowboys and Broncos. Tristan Saylor is at fullback with Reece Walsh out. Adam Reynolds returns. Fletcher Baker is still starting prop. And Jaden Hunt is in the second row, so that will be interesting. The other thing to keep note there is that at this stage, Corey Oates is listed on the interchange, which should just kind of change how they use their bench a little bit as well. So it might be some slightly better minutes for Corey Jensen, potentially. For the Cowboys, not too much that you need to focus on. Fine Fuiaki is still there. Nothing else going on of note. For the Dragons, Francis Molo comes back into the starting side. Jack DeBellin goes to the bench. Jesse Marschke goes back to the bench and Jacob Little returns. Manly, everything else is as per program except for the fact that Tafoa Sipley is in the reserves. Titans, this will be an interesting one. Jaden Campbell's at fullback. Keenan Palacio is starting at prop. And David Fifita is in the reserves. Look, at this stage, I think avoid Titans players until we know that they're A, performing well, or B, you haven't got much other choice. For the Dolphins, what I do see here is I do see a lot of value in some of these guys. This is starting to become a relatively settled team. Probably the only change is around Ray Stone. He's probably the main one coming onto the interchange. Now, if he starts over Max Plath, that could be interesting. But I'm a big fan of Max Plath, and I think he could be a sneaky one to look at, particularly if he gets this lock forward role for the next couple of weeks. He'll end up with a very interesting DPP. Warriors, Knights, Tuivasa Sheck is at fullback with Pompey in the centres. A bit disappointing. I was really hoping to see Ale Liatawa in there. Dylan Walker returns onto the interchange. Knights, who knows? Nothing else really matters here in this side. Daniel Saifidi comes on to the prop to start at prop with Leo Thompson out. For the Sharks, jeez, they've been hit with some injuries. Now, there is plenty here to talk about. Now, cheapie of preseason, Cale Iro, is named to debut in the centres. That's because Talakai has been shifted to the second row and Jack Williams has been moved back to the bench. Given that Finucane is out and a couple of others, Hazelton is starting alongside Kafusi. Billy Burns is on the bench with Hal Tapua. For the Raiders, Schiller is on the wing with Hopewadi out. Smithies is still there, even though Corey Horsburgh is in the reserves. Hosking is still on the interchange. Eels. Blaze Talagi is in at 5'8 this week with Dylan Brown at halfback. At this stage, Bryce Cartwright is still listed there, but he could be a late out. And for the Tigers, Lachlan Galvin seems to be the TP that everybody needs to have. If you haven't got Galvin, you need to jump on soon. He's got a very low break even. Almost can't afford to miss that one. All right, Survive. What's the one thing that stands out to you out of all of that? Yeah, look, I reckon this is going to be a big one. We're probably going to talk about this all the way up until his bye. That's assuming he's out till then. Now, the risk with Nathan Cleary is that he's back next week. Or that he's not back until round 8. So he misses 4 rounds. Survive, where do you sit first on Nathan Cleary? I've got some fairly strong opinions on this, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
Okay, so we all know Nathan Cleary is number one halfback, number one fantasy player, lock, captain option every week. But the thing with selling him is, last year and the years before, if you sell him, you're not getting him back until like after Origin, which is about round 18/19. So even if he does come back next week, that's a lot of points missed out on, and you're probably going to lose a bunch of ranks. But the opposite side is, if he is out until round 8, you've basically had like 940k to play with for those 4 weeks, and basically you probably gain ranks, but it's just dependent.
Yeah, I guess for me, my biggest thing with Nathan Cleary, I did that a couple of years ago. I was one of those people that started the season without Nathan Cleary. I ended up joining the Facebook page. But what I've learned over the last few years is that there is no one like Nathan Cleary. And I know there's only a couple of points between Nathan Cleary and Nico Hines at the moment. And I know they both started $1 million. But there's no one like Nathan Cleary. There's no one that scores like Nathan Cleary. And the pain that I've had to go through in the past to get Nathan Cleary back into my team, it's basically left me going, well, why would I try? For me, I look at Nathan Cleary and I go, you're looking at him not playing round 6. That was the case when you started the year with him. He was never playing round 6 because they had a bye. So now you're looking at what is someone that is out for 2 weeks. So let's say he's out round 4, round 5, comes back round 7. You're looking at someone who's out for 2 weeks because he was already missing round 6. Generally, in fantasy, we kind of say that if someone's out for 3 weeks, you don't trade them. That's kind of been the old fantasy rule. Anything for 4 or more weeks, then they were a trade. So Cleary is potentially just under that 3 weeks. The other thing with Cleary is that, let's say he's back next week and you trade him out this week, it's going to suck. It's going to come back and it's going to hurt. So my thinking is that Cleary would be one that I would be holding. There's probably a couple out of all this carnage that I'd be holding. Another is Piakura. I don't think you want to trade him. I think because he's still got plenty of cash to make. And you know that he will score well when he's in that side in that Broncos side playing 80 minutes, you know he's going to score well. So I would be hesitant to get rid of Pierre Kura. But outside of that, yeah, probably everyone else is probably fair game in terms of the injury drama, getting rid of them. Is there anyone that you'd suggest not getting rid of survive?
Just on the Pierre Kura thing, 10 News First Queensland, they've reported that he's out for a month with his ankle injury, so it's kind of confirmed, I think.
Yeah.
So what's your opinion on that? That's 4 weeks, so that's hit the rule.
So, yep, and does, 100%. But his cash, he doesn't have a lot of cash to start with. He's only, what's he priced at? 361. So, at 361, it's not going to be a big situation if he ends up sitting on your bench for 4 months. There's not really a lot of alternatives to trade him to. I'd think that for 361, unless you were turning him into a Olakau'atu, or even if you held it and wanted to turn him into a David Fifita, my thinking is that just sit and wait on him. Because if he's back in less than 4 months, if he's back in less than 4 weeks, then it could be a really interesting thing. When we have a look at some of those guys, like for me, Pierre Kura, I think he's definitely someone that you can afford. You probably don't need to, but you can definitely afford to hold on to him. Moses, on the other hand, I think Moses is a sell.
Yeah, that Moses for 8 weeks, that's way too much. You can't hold him for 8 weeks.
Yeah. And then the other side of it is a couple of those cash cows that maybe they've peaked. Maybe not even necessarily peaked, but maybe their run is done. So someone like Keanu Keeney, he could be finished with Jaden Campbell returning to the side. Joe Chan could be... Joe Chan, Tua Picky could be done as well. So that HIA brings him back.
What's your opinion on Joe Chan?
So Joe Chan had a hand infection and was replaced by Sean Bloor last week. Craig Bellamy was impressed with Sean Bloor. So there's every chance that Bloor is the starting edge next round. So I'm just thinking that there's probably just enough reason to, you could consider jumping off those guys, particularly if you have the opportunity of turning one of them. So let's say you traded Moses to a cheapie, or to a mid, and then you've got the ability to turn a Chan or a Keeney into a mid-ranger as well. Someone who's on the up would be a good thing. Or maybe a gun that maybe you think's slightly underpriced. I know people are looking at Kalen Ponga at 689. And a couple of things like that. So that's how I'd probably approach it. Yeah.
Just on Ponga, break even is really high this week. So just recommending, just stay off one more week. You've got the Waz this week. And then I think after that, he's got Dragon. So yeah, next week would be a very nice time to buy him.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they got a decent round.
Yeah. Alright.
Also, what do you think about Levy? Cash to make or...
Mate, I've said this before, I hate having Danny Levi in my team.
Yeah, he's doing a job though for people that have got him.
Oh, since round one... As soon as I get a chance to kick him out of my side, he'll be out of my side.
Yeah.
If you're in the luxury of trading green dots, sure, go for it. If he's making money and you've got no other fires this week, especially, holy Christ, this week to put out, then fair enough. But I reckon you've got bigger problems, to be honest.
Yeah, I wanted him out of my side this week. But then the carnage happened, and he will just have to stay because But I hate looking at his smug face in my side. I really want to get him out. It's just annoying to look at. And Lenty, while you're here, mate, the captaincy. Geez, that's a conundrum this week, isn't it?
Especially with Cleary.
No Haas.
If you got Hines, you'd probably chuck it on him. I think they'll bounce back in a decent way this week, the Sharks. They won't be that bad 2 weeks in a row. So
you almost have to, don't you?
I think so, yeah. If you've got him. If you don't have him, like me, I don't have him, I'm probably going with Carrigan.
Yeah, that's a good shout. And Carrigan's record when... Like, I know Carrigan scores quite well, but if for some reason Adam Reynolds doesn't play, when Carrigan's captain, his record is really good.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's gonna have to do a lot again this week for them in that middle with no Haas. So I think I'll throw it on him, or maybe Dill Brown. Might bring him in this week. I don't know, something like that. But
yeah, nice.
Another captaincy option, Terrell May. He's super potty and he is starting this week.
Yeah,
I don't mind it. I think I'd be safe. I'd be happier putting the VC on him. I think putting the C straight on him is a bit of a risk because you never know what's going to happen with Robbo. Whereas, I mean, you know what, people like Carrigan and Hines and maybe even a Turbo or someone, you know what their ceiling is. So I think you'd be safer putting a VC on May. I don't mind it.
What about someone like a Ruben Cotter? Let's assume he's fit first. If he's fit, is he a good captaincy option?
Not in my opinion, no.
I think there's better ones. I think you could put a VC on him again. He'll get you that safe score. But I think there's better captaincy options out there.
And then what about...
Cotter is his 40s to start the year out of 3 games, so he hasn't really had the start everyone expected of him.
So
it's a bit of a risk.
See, I don't necessarily see this Broncos game being a one-sided blowout. You think about the two games where Cotter scored 40 has been when the Cowboys have had big blowout scores.
Yeah.
In tight tussles, he got a 60, and I think he'll play big minutes in the tight tussles.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Depends on the tackles. He had 53 tackles in that 67-point game he had.
Yeah. But he also played 65 minutes in that game. So if you have a look at it...
He played 65 minutes and he scored a 40.
Did he?
No.
That was hard enough to drag. There wasn't a lot for him to do. He just had to run every now and then and make a couple of tackles. Like Timmy said, I think, this game will be a lot more of a middle battle, even without Haas. So I think Cotter he'll go all right.
I think if you're looking at some of these teams and Terrell May, awesome, you could chuck it on him. Like, I've got no doubt on that. But I feel like this week, almost a safe captaincy option might be the best play. A Hines, a Carrigan, those sort of guys, and trying to find the safest captaincy option. Because
now in this scenario you don't have both of them, who would you recommend?
I think you're gonna have one of them.
If you haven't got one of them, like you try and find your safest. Think of your safest. So, for instance, you know that Kalen Ponga scores over 50 relatively consistently. A James Tedesco. Try and find someone who you know, if you haven't got Carrigan, if you haven't got Hines, try and find someone that you know has a really consistent 50. So not someone like a Galvin. Don't captain Galvin, even though he could go back to back with a big score. Just because he's averaging 50 right now, he's not a captaincy target. You need someone that's going to guarantee you a good score.
If you're running 15 or 16 after your two trades this week, then you just want to double a safe option. So you just want to double a 50 or a 60, really. So
Probably the other one in that would be someone like Appy. If you've got Appy, he's probably a good captaincy shout.
He'd be spending a lot of time buying the skins this week, Appy.
Tim, have you just drawn my pod captain option?
Nah, I didn't, because he's a pod owner, player, so he's not going to change if everybody that owns him captains him, but he's not highly owned.
He's 10.6%.
Yeah, that's still not that high. And then I guess there are some cheapies as well to consider. Not that I really am jumping out at grabbing any cheapies at the moment. It's a really tricky one, because any of these cheapies that are there, they all need a week to see what their scoring's like. So Blaze Talangi, I think you need to see a week of how he scores at 5/8. I know he got a 40-odd last week. Sorry?
Job security. There's so many other halfbacks that Eels could play if he does bad this game.
Yep, that's a big part of it. Schneider could score well, but he's at an awkward price, I'm pretty sure. And you don't know when Cleary's returning.
468.
Yeah, so that's an awkward little price.
You reckon he's goal-kicking too?
Who else would do it? There's no Crichton.
Has Dylan Edwards ever goal kicked?
Yeah. Not.
I think it'd have to be Schneider.
I think it's Schneider.
I think it's going to have to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they give it to Lindsay Smith.
I think it is Schneider. I have this really... The only other... I know Alamotti was goal kicking for New South Wales Cup.
I don't know.
Unless he came into the side, but I'm not sure. I think Taruva kicked at one point as well, New South Wales Cup. But,
yeah, okay. Maybe a Dane Laurie. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. When we start going through some of these cheapies, like Jaden Hunt, I wouldn't want to touch Jaden Hunt at the moment.
No.
Would you touch Willison?
Who?
Xavier.
Willison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think
I'd
go Willison. Yeah.
I don't mind Willison as a shout, because especially with Corey Oates being on the bench. And now, keep in mind that basically Kevin Walters admitted that by not carrying an outside back utility, they lost the game, so they feel like they have to carry an outside back utility, and Corey Oates can spend 20 minutes on an edge. I'm thinking that increases the minutes for the middles. So, yeah, Willison's probably one. I think Willison. I don't think Carrigan's coming off the field, so.
No, I agree. That's why I think he's, probably a really good, he's a good captaincy option. I think he plays the full 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good one.
And then any other...
Maverick Guyer,
I reckon there's a chance he jags the starting second row spot over Garner. But
that's a nice.
I think you only touch him, Lenty, if he gets a starting spot.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about his job security in that 17 as well, with Florence and out for a few weeks.
He's absolutely locked in that side. Someone like Liam Henry is going to be. Yeah, I think if you were to get Maverick Guyer, I reckon you'd want to see in a late switch that Maverick Guyer was starting in the second row and Garner was on the bench. Because I just don't know if he gets enough minutes, Lenty, to get the points that you need from him.
That's fair enough.
If he's on the bench.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, who else they got to come back. Fisher Harris, what's he looking like?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
He's a week-to-week prospect, so, that's what I thought.
You got Fisher Harris and Simonson to come back in.
Yeah.
Where do we think Dan Laurie slots in? Because I don't think he plays hooker, does he?
I don't remember him coming on the field last week. Did he come on the field?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was just through the middle, though. I think Kenny will play 80 again.
He basically played it. If he came on the field, then he came on as a second 5'8".
He came in for 9 minutes.
Yeah, so he came on for 9 minutes. Yeah, as a second 5'8".
Yeah. He would have gone on when Cleary went off. That's what he would have done. But this week might be a bit different, yeah.
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 Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, see, I reckon he'll come on like a bit like a Dylan Walker 13 late in the game, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be his role, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Does Dane Laurie play 6 and Luai moves to 7?
Ooh, that's spicy.
I don't... Yeah, I think
Schneider plays the full game.
And it might be a situation that goal kicking might be the reason that Schneider does play the full game. Schneider's definitely a better goal kicker than Dane Laurie.
I think that'll be Laurie's role. I think he'll just come on through the middle, maybe with 10 or 15 to go, a bit of energy. Bit of spark, if any, to score a try or two. I think that's probably what his job will be, yeah.
And I guess the biggest thing is we've got no idea. Like, it could be completely... We could say all this, right. And Jack Cole could come into the team. Like...
Yeah.
Given that Jack Cole was in front of Schneider and Laurie for the World Club Challenge, like...
Yeah.
There's every chance that Jack Cole comes into the team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But...
Timo...
Sorry, mate.
No, you can go on.
I think in the Sharks, you've got to kind of keep an eye on their middles at the moment. Tom Hazelton's one that you could jump on. I think he's just around that 400. 436.
I was also going to jump on the Sharks. Kyle Iroh, how long do we think he stays there?
Not long enough. Nicker is back next week.
Yeah.
So, Nicker comes back in and Talakai should move back to the centres.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those that anyone that traded out Cam McInnes is sitting there going, geez, that's frustrating because Cam McInnes is going to score well this week. Could be one of those captaincy options.
They've still got a pretty decent 3-forward bench.
Yeah, but they're not... They're not big minute three. Those middles aren't big minutes. Williams is probably the only one that's a big minute player on that bench. The 17, he's a 20 minute middle, and
if that,
yeah, so.
Yeah, McInnes will play big minutes this week for sure, yeah.
How Tapua. He's a 20 minute prop. Jack Williams will come on and spend time at prop.
Yeah, he'll play minutes, yeah.
But he's probably really the only one. Like Billy Burns is a back rower.
An edge player.
Like, yeah. So there's I wouldn't even be surprised if Max Bradbury comes onto that bench, because they haven't got a middle. They really haven't got a middle.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm not.
Talakai could play some minutes in the middle, and they put Billy Burns on an edge. But yeah, like you said, I think McInnes and Jack Williams will play a lot of minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not too much else, though. I can't see anything being worth talking about. I mean, you could jump on someone like a Jaden Campbell if you wanted, but probably wait a week, see how that goes. Ewan Aitken, you could jump on him, but he's probably only guaranteed one more week. As I said, I like Max Plath, but I do want to make sure that he gets that starting spot before I lock him in. The rest of it's just chaotic. Oh, actually, here's one. Now, I talked about him last week, Tom Eisenhuth. If he's still playing that lock role, he's a good scorer. But as far as I'm concerned, I think try and get people that you know are good scorers this week. Don't try and find cash cows this week.
Do you reckon Olam to his 2021 self? Or nah, it was just a 1 week wonder.
How would you know?
Nah. 1 week, mate.
But you like he could be. And he could be back to his 2021 self. Like, and not saying he couldn't be. But
everyone looked good in that game last week though.
Are you prepared to put a trade on it? Because I'm not. I'm definitely not prepared to put a trade on it.
He's someone I'm like watching right now though.
Yeah, sure. Keep an eye on him, but I couldn't put a trade on him, and then there's heaps of them I couldn't put a trade on. The one that I do think, and Lenty, you're probably fit to talk about this better than anyone, and that's Gutho. Now, he's got a 13-point average increase when Mitch Moses isn't in the team.
Yeah, right. You said
13? 13.
Yeah, right.
He's with Mitch Moses versus without Mitch Moses. Is 13 points. Now, I'm assuming most of that's picked up in goal kicking.
You would assume so, yes. That's probably more. He'd probably do a little bit of general play too, I think.
But particularly goal kicking.
I don't think Talangi doing a lot of kicking. I think it'll be Brown and Gutho. Joey Lussick will kick a bit at a dummy half too. But yeah, the goal kicking will probably be his biggest uptick, yeah.
So if I was to try and pick someone that's probably pod-ish, I would be considering Gutho. He's probably my only one, especially with Moses out for 8 weeks.
Yeah. But I don't know. I couldn't do it. But, yeah, well, if you want to go a bit of a pod play, yeah.
Yeah, definitely going for a pod play. I mean, you've got, for around the same sort of price, you've got James Tedesco and you've got... Tom Trbojevic, so you could very easily go those guys as well. So, I reckon we just about wrap that up, guys. There's not much else we can talk about this week that you guys haven't already seen, heard. There's not much else we can do. Just cross your fingers, cross your toes, hope that there's no more carnage to your team, and then bounce back next week. But guess what? There's going to be more carnage.
Have we heard anything about Piakura and how long he's out for? Is it just this week?
For a month.
A month? I didn't see that somewhere.
Up to a month, apparently. Ten user reporting. But, yeah, see, I reckon at his price, I was saying before, and to get his price, I reckon you can hold him.
This is ridiculous, man.
Yep.
Bit of a cookie grain for everyone there, but yeah, it's just getting. Mate, I don't think, never seen it like this, to be honest. It's just been, next level.
Yeah. And there's no way it doesn't get worse. It has to get worse. It's round three. How can it not? How can you not have more injuries for the rest of the year? So.
Yeah, I know. I think we just, just innocuous stuff like Cleary, Moses, or the fraction foot. He played the whole game. It's just things we're hearing about now. Like, I feel like if you know about it during the game, then you can prepare for it a little bit more. But when it's a day out from TLT, it's just like, oh my God.
Yes. This week, since the end of the round, it's been a stressful week, I think some would say. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave it at that, call it a night, and come back next week, and hopefully we don't have to find a whole bunch of new cheapies. All right. Thanks, Survive. Thanks, Lenty.
See you, boys.
Thanks, Kimbo, for hosting tonight.
Bye for now.